You did have to point that out, didn't you? I did make a lot of reading mistakes in Sunday school this morning. But I am happy to be here this morning. This sermon and the preparation of was a little different than the norm. Fact is, it was a lot different than the norm. Several months ago, I preached up in Omaha. And my brother up there, Brother Jensen, asked me to save my notes because he'd like to go over them with me sometime and discuss what was spoken of up there. He wasn't there, but he heard of it secondhand. And I looked at my notes, and I had a piece of paper with 8 scriptures scribbled down on them, and that was my notes. So I don't know. I didn't know how I was going to discuss that with Brother Jensen, but that has been the last year or 2 years the way the sermons have come to me, but not this one. This one, several weeks ago, an idea, a scripture was brought to my attention that cut me very deeply, and since then I've had a number of thoughts, lots of thoughts, because it cut me so deeply. And I had to write these thoughts down, so I don't have a piece of paper with so many scriptures written on it, but I do have some thoughts written down, and I pray that you'll bear with me. This, I'm not going to keep you very long this morning, so I'm not keeping you very long. I would appreciate it if you'd pay attention to what I have to say, because I'm not going to keep you, and I'm going to try not to bore you or put you to sleep, but I would appreciate your attention. Some of you, I have wondered, years ago, how come from this pulpit we don't hear preaching on so many of the benefits that come from the Lord? You know, not all the benefits of following Jesus Christ, the blessings that He has for us, life eternal, so forth, the things that maybe we might hear in some other churches of the world, the ones that just make you feel good all over, and you can go from here feeling good about what the Lord has done for you. And I believe it's because we are already aware of that. We are already aware of what the Lord has done for us. If we're not aware, we are blind, or we are an unfeeling people. It's so aware. It's so much in abundance in this group of people that I don't believe we as preachers need to stand up here and try to lift you up by telling you what the Lord's already done to you, because you should be aware of it. Even the young ones should be aware of it. Through our testimonies, through our prayer services, if we're not aware of it now, we're never going to be aware of it. That's why we stand up here and we preach on the obligation that we have to the Lord. Not on the obligation that the Lord has to us and what He gives us, but our obligation to Him. The Lord doesn't fall short on His obligation. We fall short on ours. And that's why I'm going to stand up here this morning and be brief. I may be a little cutting. I hope not to be too cutting, but I'm going to talk on an aspect of our obligation and how we have to achieve it. We know all these things. We know the promise of eternal life, and we recognize them, and we appreciate them. But I'm going to bring to our mind, I don't know how many was here last Wednesday night. How many of you were here last Wednesday night for our prayer service? I was here. I was ashamed of myself. I was ashamed of myself. We had 50, 60 people here Wednesday night. We had the biggest group here Wednesday night than I can remember in a long, long time. How many testimonies did we have Wednesday night? How many testimonies did we have Wednesday night? Did we have three testimonies? Two? Three? Three testimonies. Mine was not there. I'm ashamed. I am truly ashamed. We all should be ashamed. It's our obligation. It's so small. It is so small compared to what the Lord has given us. It's just a token. Our brother stood before us that night. He was prepared. He was prepared. I think I must have came expecting him to do it all, I guess. I don't know. It was sad. And I know the Lord was sad. I know the Lord was sad. We do have an obligation, and we have a law to follow. And it's not so hard. It's not so difficult. But we have to stand up here weekly or bi-weekly or tri-weekly and continue to tell us what we're doing wrong and how we're falling short. Way, way, way short on our end of this obligation. The Lord is not short. I was taken by a scripture a few weeks ago. And I'm not going to tell you who was up here preaching at the time, but I want you to pay attention to these scriptures. And later on in my sermon, I want you to be able to tell me who preached these scriptures. This was 2 or 3 weeks ago. You should be able to. You should be able to. I'm going to turn into the Book of Mormon on the 19th chapter of Alma. This is on page 454. I'm going to start reading, I think, on verse 104. And it talks, I've talked about the law and the obligation that we have, and this mentions that law. It says, but there is a law given, and a punishment affixed, and repentance granted, which repentance mercy claimeth. Otherwise justice claimeth the creature, and that's you and me, and executeth the law, and the law inflicteth the punishment. If not so, the works of justice would be destroyed, and God would cease to be God. But God ceaseth not to be God, and mercy claimeth the penitent. Mercy claimeth the penitent. Not necessarily those who just confess to believe in Jesus Christ, but the penitent, those who truly repent of their sins. And mercy cometh because of the atonement, and the atonement bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead, and the resurrection of the dead bringeth back men into the presence of God. And thus we are restored into his presence to be judged according to their works, according to the law and justice. For behold, justice exercises all his demands, and his mercies claimeth all which is her own. And this is the next phrase that struck me deep. And thus, none but the truly penitent are saved. The truly penitent. That word truly, do we know what that means? Do we know what it is to be truly penitent? That's no front. That's not coming here before you and me and claiming to be sorry for what we did, or being sorry for what we did. It's not just going through the motions because it's required of us. It's not going through the motions because it's required of us to go to heaven. There's more to being truly penitent than that. But truly sorry. Truly sorry to whom? To the Lord. We need to feel the hurt that we caused Him when we sinned. And realizing that, become truly penitent for hurting our Lord. Not because it's a requirement that I do this to receive from the Lord, but feeling His pain, knowing the pain that He must have gone through when I sinned. That is being truly penitent. We can't fool the Lord. He knows our hearts. He knows our repentance. He is the Father. He is the Father to us. And I know, having three boys, when they're really feeling sorry for what they've done because they know they've hurt me, or they're sorry for what they've done because they know what's coming. And I'm concerned for us that that latter reason is the reason why we're repentant. And the only reason. It can be part of the reason, but if it's the only reason, that is not truly penitent. It is not. And we need to get ourselves in a situation where we can become truly penitent. I've spoken that the Lord knows our hearts. I'd like to turn into 1 John and read from the 3rd chapter, just a couple, 3 verses. And hereby we know that we are of a truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. He knows our heart. He knows the motive behind our repentance. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, if we're truly repentant, then we can have confidence towards God. We will have confidence towards God. Because it says so right here in the Scriptures. If we're truly penitent, we're going to be saved. If our hearts are true, we can have confidence towards our God. If our hearts are not true, if we're not truly penitent, we can't have that confidence. We're hypocrites. We're hypocrites. And we know, I think we all know, I hope we all know, what the Lord thinks about hypocrites. And I know what the majority of us think about hypocrites. I'd like to turn into Matthew, the 6th chapter. Starting with the 16th verse. Moreover, and I'm going to substitute a couple words, if you'll give me the liberty. Moreover, when ye fast, when ye repent, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to repent, to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, or repent, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to repent, just for the sake of appearing before men, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and that's Jesus Christ. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. He will forgive openly and freely if we repent in such a manner. I'm going to finish my scripture in the Book of Mormon now. 107. But what do you suppose that mercy can rob justice? I say unto you, nay, not one whit. If so, God would cease to be God, and thus God bringeth about his great and eternal purposes, which were prepared from the foundation of the world. And thus cometh about the salvation and redemption of men, and also their destruction and misery. Therefore, O my son, whosoever will come, may come, and partake of the waters of the life, waters of life freely. Whosoever will come, whosoever will repent, truly repent, may come. And whosoever will not come, the same is not compelled to come. The Lord's not going to make us come. It's our choice. A simple choice. It should be a simple choice. But in the last day, it shall be restored unto him according to his deeds. If that's not convicting, if that's not a reason to start seeking out what is wrong with our obligation, I know of no other. How do we get to the point that we can truly repent? Truly feel sorry for hurting our Lord? And to me, that's what true repentance is. And if he desired to do evil, and hath not repented in his days, behold, evil shall be done unto him according to the restoration of God. And now, my son, I desire that ye should let these things trouble you no more. Only let your sins trouble you, with that trouble which shall bring you down unto repentance. O my son, I desire that ye should not deny the justice of God, that ye should deny the justice of God no more. Pardon. Excuse me. I'm having trouble reading again. Do not endeavor to excuse yourself in the least point because of your sins. Am I guilty of this? Yeah. And to some degree, I think we're all guilty of this. Making excuses by denying the justice of God. But do let the justice of God and his mercy and his long suffering have full sway in your heart. But let it bring you down to the dust in humility. And now, my son, O my son, you are called of God to preach the word unto this people. And now, my son, go thy way, declare the word of truth with truth and soberness, that thou mayest bring souls unto repentance, that the great plan of mercy may have claim upon them. And that's what I'm doing, or attempting to do, this morning. I'm concerned for my soul. I am concerned for our souls, just because of this one thing. This one thing. Does anybody remember who used those three verses? There's three verses that our brother used when he preached a couple, 3 weeks ago out of these. Beg your pardon? My wife does. Does anybody, probably because I pointed it out to him and it struck me so deeply. Does anybody else remember? It was Randy. Randy used, I believe, used 106, and he used 112 and 114. And it really struck me deeply. We're not paying attention, are we? Maybe it just, that sermon was for me. Maybe that sermon was for me. How do we, now I got you here. I got you here, and I says, okay, how do I become truly penitent? How do I feel that hurt? Feel sorry for that hurt that I've caused the Lord? And the key is in 114. The key is written out for us plainly. It says, let it bring you down into dust in humility. And humility is the key. Humility is the key to allow the Lord to have full sway of our lives and full sway of our hearts. There is no other way. I look at the church. I look at our heritage. I look at the short time I've been in the church. 10 years. 10 years. Been coming some 20, 21 years. And I can look back and I can feel proud. I can feel proud. I can look back and see how the Lord has blessed each one of my kids, me, my father, my wife, saved the life, brought back from the dead, healed completely, brought knowledge to us. We have an organization. We have the right organization. We have the right doctrine. We have it all. Do we? Do we have it all? Do we have it all? There's a list. We could go on. Revelations. We could go on. You look back at the heritage, Joseph Smith. We can look back and say, wow, look what we've got. I believe we're smug because of it. I honestly believe that we are smug. I believe we are a proud group of people. Proud and humility and smug and humility shouldn't be mentioned in the same breath, because they can't go together. We're proud because of what the Lord has given us. We're proud because we are a chosen people, and we are a chosen people. And yet, the only way we're going to obtain mercy is being humble and being penitent. We follow the Lord's commandments. We follow His laws. We're good people. We're good people. I'd like to turn into the 22nd chapter of Matthew. Read something that probably 3/4 of us can quote, 9/10 of us can quote off the top of our heads, starting with the 36th verse. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments. If we are not observing these two commandments, all that heritage and all those ordinances and all those laws, this is what it says, all those things we've been given are for naught. They're not worth anything if we don't first observe these. Are we observing these? Shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Do we feel that pain when we sin because we've hurt the Lord? When you hurt your mother, when you hurt your father for something you've done, does it hurt you here because of what you've done to them? Do we feel the same pain when we sin, no matter the least degree? Don't excuse yourself from the little sin. It says so. I just read it. Don't excuse ourselves from that small sin because it still hurts our Lord. I'm not going to answer the question for you. If you don't feel that pain, we don't love the Lord enough. If He's not real enough to us to realize that we are hurting Him, and scriptures after scriptures will tell us that sin causes Him sadness and pain. Do we believe it? Or is it just so many words? It's not so many words. It's true. There's only one way. There's only one way that we can achieve this. And that is to turn our hearts over to Him and allow and ask His Spirit to be in control of our lives. Because if it's our spirit and our flesh that is ruling, we're going to sin. And we're going to hurt Him over and over and over again. If we do this, we're going to be filled with His love. We're going to be filled with Christ's love. We are not going to offend our brothers in the church or out of the church or out in the world. And maybe more important, we are not going to be so easily offended. Are you easily offended? Are we easily offended? If we are, we don't have enough of the love of Christ in us. Think. Just think of the number of people that are not in our midst now that once were. And ask yourself, why? Why are they not here? Is it because of our doctrines and our teachings and our laws? That's not the reason they're not here. That is not the reason they're not here. It's because we haven't practiced and allowed that humility and love enough to come into us that others can see it and we express it. We're not going to offend other people if we have that in our hearts. We are not going to offend people. We are not going to become offended by people. It's the way it is. I don't know how more straight I can put it out there, but it's the truth. There's no other reason. And to me, in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, that's what it's speaking of. That's what it's speaking of. I'd like to turn into Luke. I thought I was going to be brief. My kids say, you always do this. You say, yeah, it's going to be brief, and that's when it's the longest. I'm going to read, starting with the 25th verse, 10th chapter of Luke. and it's a parable. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, he didn't truly understand, Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest. Priest, that's me. That's me. That way. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. That's you. That's you guys out there. That's believers. When he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side, on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He was a humble man. And went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, a humble man, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he parted, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. He was a humble man. He had compassion in his heart. He had nothing to gain by helping this man, but he had it in his heart. He had that humility and goodness in his heart. Frank's not here. I'll talk about him. He says, you know, the proof's in the... He used this a couple weeks ago. The proof's in the pudding. And it's true. The proof is in our actions. We can repent in words all we want. And we can repent for each other all we want. But the proof is in our hearts. And the Lord knows it. We need to be penitent. We need to be as this Samaritan. This priest and these Levites had all the laws, had the ordinances, performed all these things just like we have. They have had a great heritage, an unbelievable heritage. They had gifts. They were a chosen people. We are a chosen people. To do this, we have to humble ourselves. We have to realize our obligation. What it is, become penitent, become humble, to realize that when we sin, we are hurting our Lord, to really realize that, to correct ourselves, to allow His Spirit to enter in. The Spirit won't enter into a proud man. His Spirit won't. It'll enter into a humble man, a humble people. We don't have His Spirit, enough of His Spirit with us. It's because we're smug. It's because we're proud. bring our lives, our flesh, and our will to the Lord and allow Him to rule in our lives. If we do this, we're going to hold on to our people, not because, partly because, this is the right church, and we have organization, and we have authority, and we have the things that the Lord's been has given to us freely. But we'll hold on to them because they recognize and realize that we are humble and we have the love of Jesus Christ in us and we share it. Then our numbers will grow. Then our spirituality will grow. Then we will receive more. Then we will receive those spiritual gifts which we need. I'm not so sure they're the spiritual gifts in which we desire right now, but there will be more spiritual gifts. And I pray that next week when I sit in Wednesday evening prayer service and when you sit in Wednesday evening prayer service, that you're going to recognize that small token that you can offer for the Lord. And you can also, I hope, realize when you do not offer that small token that you've just pained and caused our Lord to hurt. And I hope that I haven't offended anybody. It was not my intention to offend anyone. It's my intention to help us, to bring us closer, that our souls might not be lost. Thanks.